Isaiah 55. Let's read the first verse, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let's pray, and then I'll get right into the message. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. Lord, we've had a good service so far. We need you again, Lord, even at this time. Would you guide and direct? Give me the words to say, Lord, I need you at all times. There is never a time when I don't need you. But Lord, I feel it especially this afternoon and this time. Lord, I need you to take up for me in my weakness and use your word to edify and encourage your people. You've told me as a pastor to feed your flock. And Lord, I'm not able to feed them by myself. I pray that you would do it through me and let your name be glorified. Take the glory to yourself as you feed your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is Stop and Listen. Stop and Listen. That's because this verse begins with a word that literally is what that means when it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. That word ho is a word that you would have used back then. I don't know that we say it anymore necessarily, but it was the idea if someone was coming by, it was, hey, stop where you are. You remember in the story of Ruth, do you remember that story? You remember that Boaz, when he said to the other man, the nearer kinsman than him, you remember that he said, ho, such an one. And recently I heard a message about that at a pastor's meeting. But that word ho just means, hey, stop, pay attention, listen to what I'm about to say to you. And that's what God says here in Isaiah 55 to anyone who will listen. He says, ho, stop and listen. And he's going to talk to them about the need of their life and the need to be fed, the need to be given drink as well, and the fact that God will give that to them. As we take just a moment from that passage of Scripture, and I want you to think back to another passage of Scripture in Matthew. Can you keep your place in Isaiah and turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter number 14? Do you remember this passage of Scripture? I'm sure you will. I know the young people will, because very recently they heard a message on it in Kids Club. And they've been going through in Kids Club some of the different miracles that Jesus did. And Matthew 14, verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. I know you remember that story. You remember what happened. Of course, there was more than enough for the people. God provided for them. Why was that one of the miracles that Jesus did? Why does God take so much time to put it in each of the Gospels, so much that he wants us to know that that was one of the miracles that Jesus did? And I believe it is that God is trying to tell us that he wants to feed us. And not just feed us physically, but more than that, he wants to feed us spiritually. And why is that the illustration? Why does God use feeding or food as the illustration of what he wants to do for us spiritually? I think the answer is this, that a couple of things. Number one, food is enjoyable. Isn't that true? Some of us prove that the way we live our life. Food is enjoyable. And listen, food is something that satisfies us. Depending on what you eat, right? It'll make you feel satisfied. I try to tell young ladies this when they're in premarital counseling. I try to tell them, listen, you have no idea how a home-cooked meal makes your future husband feel when he knows that that is waiting for him once he gets home. There's something that is in that God put in guys. They can go through all kinds of bad things in life and have a bad day, but if they know there's a good meal cooked by their wife waiting for them at home, they can go through anything. Because it gives us comfort. There's something that feels good about it. It satisfies. Everything's right in the world when my belly is full. To a great extent, we feel that way. So God uses that as an illustration of something that he wants to do. Because listen, the truth of the matter is, God wants himself to be that for you. That you can go through anything in life if you know that you have him. If you know that you have a private time with him waiting for you, that maybe that's at night or maybe that's in the next morning. You can go through all kinds of tough things in life if you know that you can get along with God and feast on his word and have spiritual food. God wants to be that for you. God can be that for you. And yes, that's for you, not just the pastor, not just your Sunday school teacher, not just the person in your church that's super spiritual, but yes, for you. God wants his relationship with you to be that way. But I think the other reason that God uses food is because without it, we can't live. Now again, there's a few of us, we could go some days without food and we'll survive. But the truth of the matter is, everyone here, no matter how much time we may be able to endure, we can't endure forever. We have to have food. It is required. And not only we could even perhaps survive without food for some days, but we'll suffer in the meantime. We'll be lethargic. We'll be tired. We'll get mineral deficiencies. We'll have different issues like that. And fasting is good for you, and it's good for us to do that. Nothing wrong with that. But boy, over a long period of time, you'll suffer. And I think God wants us to remember and give us the clue that what he can give to us is something that we really need. We can't survive without it. And so that's why he uses that illustration in Matthew 14 of what Jesus would give, that he can give something that they need. And as we go back to Isaiah 55, now God is saying that same type of thing. This time he uses being thirsty. And I think thirsty is even a greater example of something that you crave. Isn't that true? Right, Sarah? That's right. Sarah's drinking right now as I'm saying that. But listen, it's true, isn't it? We can go a long time without food, but we can't go very long without some kind of a fluid, and we'll die quickly without that. And so God is saying here, ho, or stop and listen. And I want you to see what the call is. The call is literally to stop what you are doing. And this afternoon, in this little bit of service we have, and the small time that I have to preach to you, I want you to understand that although Isaiah 55 was written specifically to the nation of Judah, and there was an absolute primary application to them, God wanted them to stop looking to idols and to start looking to him. And so he's saying to them, listen, stop and listen to what I'm about to say. But there's an application to you and me today as well. God wants us to take the time and stop and listen, because we need to pay attention to what he is about to say. It reminds me of Proverbs 8. We won't take the time to look at Proverbs 8, but that's where wisdom is likened to a woman who's on the street corner and she's standing up in a high place and she's getting the attention of those who are walking by and offering her services to them, saying, listen, I can give you what you need. I can give you wisdom if you'll just listen to me. And that's literally what God is doing here. And who's the audience? Everyone that thirsteth. That's what it says. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. So hopefully that is you this afternoon. All of us should be like the psalmist in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I believe that's how that psalm goes. It's Psalm 42, right? And the hart being a type of a deer, and how they long for that water. And the psalmist said there, I long for you like that. You know, all of us should long for God. And I want you to stop and ask yourself this question this afternoon. Do you long after God in that way? And if the answer is no, I don't want to condemn you. Because we all go through times and we all struggle and we're all human beings and we're all dealing with flesh and we're all dealing with the world. So don't take this as your pastor just coming down hard on you. But can I just lovingly and kindly, as your pastor, say, if you are not hungering and thirsting after God, if you can go days without reading God's word, and it really makes no difference to you, that is a sign that there is a problem with your spiritual health. That is a symptom of a sickness that's going on in your spiritual life. And again, I don't say that to condemn you. I say it to bring it to your attention so hopefully you can figure out what the problem is and get to the place where you thirst after God again. We should be thirsting after God. But I love how else he explains the audience. Look at that verse again with me. Verse number one, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And notice this next phrase. "And he that hath," what are the next two words? "No money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money." And with explanation about what wine and milk are all about there, notice that he says to buy the milk and buy the meat and all of that kind of stuff. But wait a minute, how can you buy something without money? I know, you use a credit card. We do it in the 21st century all the time, don't we? But obviously they didn't have credit cards back then. That's not what he's talking about. How can you buy something without money? Well, of course, the answer is it's already paid for. It's paid by somebody else. But what I want to show you about that audience is God is not just speaking to people who can give him something. God is not interested in you having a relationship with him and being thirsty for him because he thinks he can get something out of you. Let me point that out to you again. All of us in our lives, we struggle with the fact that sometimes we think that people like to be around us because they think they can get something from us. Sometimes spouses struggle with that. Well, you're just in it for yourself. Hopefully it's not that way in your marriage. But sometimes we struggle with those thoughts, don't we? Or friendships. We wonder if somebody really likes us and loves us for who we are, or if they just, you know, think they can get something out of us. But I want you to understand, no matter what you feel about others and no matter what people have done to you in your life, that's not who God is. God is not interested in a relationship with you because he thinks he can milk you for all you're worth. God is interested in a relationship with you because he wants to give to you. He wants you to be blessed. Isn't that a good thing? And again, I've shared some of these things with you recently, but I want to remind you again, sometimes in a church like ours, and I do think we're on the right track as a church as far as being conservative and having standards and using the right Bible and all those good things that we emphasize. But one of the dangers sometimes of a church like ours is if we're not careful, we can give people the impression that what God wants out of you is performance. And God will be happy with you when you dance to the right beat, so to speak. That God will be happy with you when you can perform for him. And I want you to understand, if that is the impression you've been given somewhere, either we messed up or it didn't go in your ears the right way. Because that's not who God is. God says to the audience he's speaking here is somebody who cannot give him anything. He is the one giving to them, and that's you and me. So rejoice in that and enjoy that and be thankful for that. And by the way, what that should cause us to do then is to want to give to him. Just because we love him so much. We love him because he first loved us. But I love that about this. It's the people who have no money. Look at Psalm 50, if you would, please. Keep your place in Isaiah. Turn over to Psalm 50 because God is not interested in our money. This call is for the people who have nothing to give, and yet it will be provided for them. Somebody else made the purchase. Psalm 50, verse number 7. And again, this was part of our scripture reading not that long ago as we've been reading through Psalms. And I hope that you follow along with the Bible reading that we do in the bulletin each week. Psalm 50, verse 7, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" And the obvious answer is no. Okay, so wait a minute. Did God not command his people to give sacrifices in the Old Testament? Absolutely he did. He commanded them. That was part of the Old Testament law. So why is God saying this? Is he joking around? The obvious answer again is no. But God was not necessarily interested in the sacrifices themselves. God's looking at the heart. That's the real issue. God wants your heart. And sometimes the proof of whether or not God has your heart is whether or not you really are willing to sacrifice. But it's not the sacrifice that makes it that way. And so let's apply that to you and me here. Sometimes we can get the impression that God will be happy with me. Again, when I do all the things that everybody expects of me, then God's going to be happy. No, that's not the way God is. But here's what God does want. He does want your heart. And sometimes we go the opposite direction, which is, well, I'm not giving anything then. Well, then you're just showing where your heart is. Give God your heart. Fall in love with the Lord. That's what he's looking for from us. And he says that in different words in verse 14. What is God looking for? Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Doesn't that basically what God is saying is I want you to just give me yourself. You look to me to be your God and give me thanksgiving. Give me praise and glory for what I do for you. That is what God is looking for from you and me. And I'm so glad that God is not requiring us to be rich before he can give us and bless us and help us. Let's go back to Isaiah 55. By the way, when we look at verse number 1, they're buying and eating wine and milk. I think that that's interesting. I believe that the reason for that is wine is something that they would drink that rejoices the heart. There's another place in the Word of God where it references that. I believe it's Ecclesiastes, if I'm not mistaken. Might be Proverbs, but it talks about wine that rejoices the heart. It's something that you would use in a celebration. So when God gives us something, by the way, he's not just giving us the bare minimum. You know, lukewarm water that's been sitting there for a while. Just enough to get you by. No, he's offering wine. In other words, something that rejoices you. And then milk. Milk is another one. Milk is something where it's the idea being is there's abundance there. People who are wealthy, who have flocks in this culture, who have extra to give, that's what they drink. They drink milk. And God is offering that to his people, something that satisfies. Milk is, if it's the right kind of milk, not the skim milk that they offer in the stores today. It has some fat content to it. Isn't that the way that God made it? That's the way it's supposed to be, to where when you drink it, it satisfies you, it fills you, there's something there. It gives you strength. There's protein in that. It gives you the strength for life. All of that. God is offering these things. And he does so by offering it for free. And then verse number 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So here's the question that God offers to his people. Will not satisfy. It won't feed you and it won't satisfy you, and yet you're spending money on it. Judah was spending all their time, effort, and energy on idolatry. And boy, those idols, they do demand of you. And yet it didn't satisfy them, didn't give them what they needed, and yet they kept spending money on it. Now, wait a minute. Can we make an application to today? Well, it's certainly what the world does, isn't it? The world offers a lot. The world, they look for things that will satisfy them, and they're willing to give everything they can, and they're willing to, you know, give all that they have for something that really doesn't satisfy. They give to the sins of the flesh, thinking the sins of the flesh will satisfy. And the sins of the flesh always take from you. They demand that you give to them. And they are a cruel taskmaster, and they don't satisfy. Or they give to a religion that won't heal the conscience. It might make the person feel good for a time, but it doesn't deal with the root issue of unforgiven sin. And they give and give and give and give and give to that religion. The big thing nowadays that I hear is there was a pull several years back, maybe a couple decades back, toward the kind of churches that are called seeker-sensitive. You know, what we'll do whatever feels good to people, and we'll never confront them on their sin, and we'll just have everything be kind of nice and frivolous and all of that, and that'll draw people in. But from what I understand and from what I read and hear and things like that from people who lead quote-unquote evangelicals, they say that that seeker-sensitive movement is kind of fading into the background now, and now people are turning to, like, Catholicism. And a lot of young people are even turning to the Latin Mass of Catholicism. So it wouldn't even be normal Catholicism, it would be the old kind. that's more strict. And young people are turning to that. You know why that is? Because they're hungry, they're thirsty, and they're giving money to something, giving these things to something that they're hoping will satisfy, and you and I know that religion won't satisfy. Whether it's the seeker-sensitive or the real traditional, ultra-traditional Latin Mass, none of it will satisfy. Only God will satisfy, and yet they give to it. Now, what about you and me? What do we give to things that don't satisfy? Well, sometimes we give to the sins of the flesh, don't we? We're hoping that will fill a need. And you know from experience, that will not fill a need. That's not the answer to the problem. The problem, or the answer to the problem, is a relationship with Jesus Christ, growing close to Him. We give in to other things as well. We try to just kind of salve things with entertainment, or we hold on sometimes to things, maybe hurts that are in our life or something like that, and we're hoping that, you know, we'll feel better if we could just make that person pay for what they did to us. And yet we know that we're giving money to something that doesn't satisfy. And what God is asking of us is the same thing that He asked of them. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And so He gives them a proposition in verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. Well, actually, verse 2 in the middle of it. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Here's the proposition. Hearken diligently unto me. Seek after God. That's the answer. The result will be that you'll be able to eat good things yourself in fatness. You can eat just a little bit and you'll be satisfied. You know, it's like the difference between, you know, eating a couple of carrots, those are good, or eating an avocado. Which one satisfies? Some of you hate avocados, so you have no idea. But listen, I know enough about eating healthy from things that I've studied and done even in the past to know that one of the best things you can do for yourself is eat avocados if you want to be satisfied and lose weight. Why? Because you'll be full for a long time. Because there's good fat there. You know what God is saying to us here? If you'll take what I will give you, if you'll hearken unto me, I'll give you something that you can eat just a few bites of and you're satisfied. And your soul will delight itself. You'll have that comfort feeling that you have when your soul is satisfied and it's full and you're not always wondering where your next meal is going to come from. That is what God offers to us. What's the answer? Hearken diligently unto Him. Hear Him. I love the wording that He uses there. Incline your ear. You know what that means? Listen on purpose. Because God's not going to use a microphone system like this to get in your ear and yell to make sure that you hear. What type of descriptor does God give to the voice of God, to His own voice? A still, small voice. That means that He's heard by the person who inclines their ear, who's listening on purpose. All of us here this afternoon need to listen on purpose. I hope that will be a good challenge to you this week. Walk with the Lord. Read His Word daily. Spend that time with Him. Remember, God is not looking for you to perform for Him. He's looking to bless you. So draw close to Him and get that close relationship with Him that all of us need. Let's pray and we'll be done here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, I thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for the good time of singing that we've enjoyed. Lord, thank You for the reminder from Your Word that we've had that You satisfy and only You satisfy. Please teach us, Lord, to be satisfied in You. Lord, if we're honest with You, we struggle with that. We live in a sin-cursed world and our flesh is pulling us toward the world. And Lord, we so often are trying to find our satisfaction in the things of this world, even things that appear good but are not of You. Oh Lord, forgive us for that and teach us to love You and seek You and to incline our ear to Your voice. Start with me. Help me with that, Lord, and help all of Your people. Help us all the same, we pray. Lord, I ask for Your blessing upon our people this week. Give them safety. Give them encouragement. Lord, especially the kids going to camp, keep them safe. Let that camp be a blessing. Let the Word of God go forth with power. But Lord, also, would You keep us from false doctrine, sins of the flesh, all of those things, I pray. And Lord, I ask that You would bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen.